appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is kind of different this evening, but we do the Lord's Supper about four times a year, and three of those times, we usually do one around Easter sometime in July and around Thanksgiving, and we do those on Sunday morning. But I like to do one when the workers are out all day, every Sunday morning. I want to do one where they can be with us. And so tonight's message is a little different than we usually do. But when we do communion, I want it to be a special time. I really do. I grew up, and it was a good church. It was like you do the regular service, and you tack this thing on. You know that's what you do. What it meant was we're just going to be there longer. And I don't like it to do that. I want it to mean something. Hey, listen, he said when we do this, we're supposed to do this in remembrance. And we think about what it is he did. And I think sometimes we've forgotten. We get too big for our britches. I think sometimes we forget that he died for us. We didn't deserve it. And we need to remember that. Luke chapter 22. The end of Christ's life here. Lord's Supper, last night. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now what that means is they were going to kill Jesus. That was a done deal. They just needed to find a way to do it without stirring up the people, because the people liked the guy. And they didn't like the fact that they liked the guy. So they wanted to kill him. That was a done deal. That was what they were going to do. But they wanted to do it without stirring up the people and causing a lot of fuss. Verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. We were talking about this morning. After the church service, someone was talking about how the Bible talks about how once Jesus handed him the sop, then it says that Satan entered into him. The fact is, Satan can get the best of any of us if we're not careful. And really that's what he's saying. He got the best of him there. It says, then enters Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Look at verse 4. Speaking of Judas, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. Now, wait a minute. Judas was one of the 12. He'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. And when things didn't quite go his way, you know what he did? He went his way. And when you go your way, you stop communing with the Lord and you start communing with the world. Before long, we're going to get ourselves down the road we never thought we would ever intended to go. We're going to get ourselves in trouble, do something we probably never thought we would have done. In fact, we don't get into it here tonight, but when it's all said and done, Judas says, oh, my soul, I have betrayed an innocent man. Throws it down, the money back down at their feet, and said, what's that to us? We don't want the money. What are we going to do with this money? Well, let's buy a field to bury poor people in, because it's blood money. They knew what it was. So Judas, verse 4, went his way and communed. That word commune means to speak in union with, to speak the same thing. I don't know why it is, but it seems like when we're in high school, that's probably the biggest time we struggle with that. We're trying to find out who we are, trying to find out whether it's this faith that mom and dad is trying to push down our throat. Is it ours or is it not ours? Are we going to stand for it or we're not going to stand for it? And sometimes we're not careful, we find ourselves speaking the same things as that crowd we know we shouldn't be running with. By the way, adults do that too, around the water fountain at work. We speak some things. It says to speak the same thing, to speak in union with. So he went his way and he communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him unto them. So the first step to stop communing with Jesus is to go our own way, and then we will commune with someone else. Verse 5, and they were glad. Who? The chief priests, the captains, who wanted him betrayed. They were glad. You know, listen, Sinners, misery loves company. And sinners love to bring others on board. Just because they're glad to see you doesn't mean that they're your friend and that they're good for you. Proverbs 1:10 says, listen, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Oh, let's have the same purse. Let's go out and do this. We all make a lot of money. It'll be a great thing. No. So they were glad he came along. They coveted with it. That word coveted means to speak in union with, to give money. So they covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. In other words, when no one was looking. They want to betray him in the absence of the multitude when no one was looking. By the way, if you can't do what you want to do when others are looking, there's a good chance you shouldn't be doing it anyway. Let me say that again. If you can't do what you want to do when other people are looking, there's a good chance you shouldn't be doing it anyway. Now, if you want to sneak behind your wife's back and buy her a nice, diamond ring, I think she'll be okay. But there's some other things we probably shouldn't be doing. Now, Judas had spent 3 years plus with Jesus. Is it possible he had never communed with Jesus? Oh, he went with him. He was in the crowd. But did he commune with Jesus? Let's pray. And we're going to start there from verse 7 and go on. And I'm just going to talk about tonight communion with Jesus. Communion with Jesus. Let's speak. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts here this evening. We need you. And Lord, I know we come to this communion table, and some have been doing it for many, many years. And yet, Lord, we want it to be sweet. We want to be special tonight. We want to commune with you. One more time, just think about what you've done for us. The amazing love that you have for us. And Lord, when we have communed with somebody we should have never been with, Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. I believe you would have forgiven Judas if he had just come and asked forgiveness. He didn't have to take his life. I really believe you would have forgiven him. There's no one you wouldn't forgive. Your love is amazing. Your mercy endures forever. Lord, I pray that you speak to us here this evening. I don't know what all the needs are, but you know what they are. May your word bring it out to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread, uncorrupted bread, if you will, when the Passover, the lamb, must be killed, sacrificed. Let me say, then I brought those three things out for you. An uncorrupted lamb was sacrificed. I know I was talking about the bread there, unleavened, uncorrupted. But that was the whole thing. It was uncorrupted. There was no sin in Jesus. There was no sin in what he had ever done. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and he would be sacrificed for us. Look at verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when we are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. He wanted a place where he could commune with his disciples. There were some very important directions he was going to give them. This was the last moment of instruction before he's taken up, before he's given up as a sacrifice. And then he's going to have the last little bit before, of course, he ascends. But this was the last instruction before he died. I know this sounds like a simple statement, but number one, I want you to think of this. Jesus desired to commune with his disciples. Have you ever been with somebody that they're being pleasant and they're nice and they're spending time with you, but you feel like they really don't want to be here? Oh, they're a big shot. They didn't really want to. Jesus desired. Look at verse 14. And when the hour was come, he, Jesus, sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That's an interesting little phrase there. By the way, when you get little verses that you think, well, that's kind of confusing. If you study it down, you'll find it's usually that's got the best little nugget in it right there. He says, listen, with longing, with desire, with longing. Now think about it. This is kind of crazy. Jesus says, I've been just longing, looking forward to the day that I could eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What in the world? He says, I want to eat this Passover with you. That little word with, in association with, accompanying with. Before, prior to the fact when I suffer. Listen, that word suffer means to experience a painful passion. Jesus, we talked about this morning, Jesus loved us first. He looked forward to doing the will of God, even the death of the cross. Hebrews tells, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What joy? The fact that he, I'm not working here. There we go. What joy? The fact that he gets to have us. Boy, lucky him. He's doing all this to get us. For the joys, and listen, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Watch, should we not also look forward to serving our Savior, disregarding the sacrifice? In fact, he said, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And you know what we say? Well, that's going to cost me too much. Well, isn't it worth the communion with him? No matter the sacrifice? If I'm going to walk, listen, if I want to walk with him, he's walking in light. I need to walk in light. If I'm going to walk with him, I need to go where he goes. He said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, listen, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, that's too much bother. I don't want to have to go. I got to go tell somebody I'm a Christian and try to lead them to Christ. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you will find him being around a whole lot closer. I'll tell you one reason is, Lord, I'm going to talk to this person. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to sign. I don't want to. You know, it's one of these things. You knock on the door. Well, there's nobody home. Let's go to the next one. No, after a while you want to go, you know, hey, you got something I want to tell you. Well, they might make fun of me. They might slam the door in my face. I know, but Jesus was with me. It was worth the trip just to walk with him. Jesus says, I long, I desire to have this meal. I think one of the reasons because he knew, listen, once he had this meal, he was going to the cross. Once he goes to the cross, he now gets to commune in our own hearts. You can't get any closer than that. He desired, I long to eat this Passover with you. Our communion with Jesus is worth so much to Jesus, he was willing to suffer shame and torture to have it. How much is having a sweet communion with Jesus worth to you? Look at verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In other words, there will be no longer a need to celebrate the Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He's the one the Passover has been looking forward to all these years. Listen, it's not the party he's enjoying. It is being with us. That he's going to be able to be with us and us with him. Jesus, watch, in verse 17, Jesus gives thanks for the death because it will allow us to have eternal communion with him.
Look at verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. A word woe is kind of a primary exclamation of grief. You know what I think he's saying? I feel sorry for Judas. That's what he's saying. Jesus is saying, I feel sorry for Jesus, for Judas. Now we get stabbed in the back. The first thing we want to do is turn around and stab him back. I feel sorry for Jesus. So he gives thanks. Watch. He took bread and gave thanks. This is not just saying grace before our meal. He says, this is my body broken for you. And I'm thankful for it. What does he get out of it? Us. What a deal. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. He had given thanks for his blood to be shed. He said, listen, how many of us would be sitting around the meal and talking about the fact is, boy, this is going to be a great day. You know what's so great? You know what? Tomorrow I get crucified. And here's a picture of it. You want to see a picture of my crucifixion here? Here it is. He gives thanks for the opportunity to save our souls. What's so great about us? Nothing. That's what makes his love so amazing. Let me give you number two. First one was Jesus desired to commune with his disciples. Number two is a question. Who are you communing with? Who are you communing with? Judas went his own way and communed with the persecutors because I think he thought it was of profit to him. 22:4 said, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. He was looking for profit. I really think he was. But hang tight. Jesus looked forward to communing with them that night, to share with them what was going to happen. But I hate to say it, I think the disciples were communing with Jesus because they thought they were going to profit from it. A little further that evening, look at verse 22, verse 21. Now Jesus, we've just gone through that. Listen, verse 14 through 18, he's talking about, you know, I'm going to suffer all this. And then he says, verse 19, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. Verse 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of God goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. Verse 23, and they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Hang tight. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Can you hear the conversation? Jesus just said, my body's going to be broken for you. My blood's going to be shed for you because I want to have you. And they said, well, I wonder who in the world would do something like that. Man, I would never do anything. You would do it. I wouldn't do anything. Man, mean, you think you wouldn't do that. Hey, I really wouldn't do it. Well, you really, I really, really wouldn't do it. Well, you know, when it comes to following Jesus, I tell you what, I'm the best. They went from him telling about how he's going to give his life so that we can have a relationship with him, and all they can think about is, I wonder who gets to be the boss underneath him. Who gets to be vice president, secretary of state? I think they communed with Jesus because they thought they were going to get something out of it. But Jesus says that communion with him does not promise position. It doesn't promise possessions. Communion with Jesus may even bring the same to us as Jesus endured. When we commune with Jesus, we are communing with a servant. Look at verse 24. And there was also strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. He that is chief, let him that he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not that he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink in my table my kingdom, and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now he says, listen, there are some good things coming. You follow me. But listen, you follow me. There's some not so good things between that and the kingdom. There's death. There's suffering. There's a walk with God that only we are willing to do because we want to communion with him. Are you willing to commune with Jesus even though it may lead to suffering? He's willing to suffer so he can commune with you. Jesus was willing, even look forward to communing with us, though it meant the death on the cross. Jesus came as a man to be with man, to die for man, so that man could be with him forever. How much is communing with God worth to you? Tough question. You know, if I went to, you say, well, if I went down to so-and-so church, they wouldn't be beating me up like this. We can make you feel good, or I can make you feel real good. The walk with Christ. Number three. Number one, Jesus wanted to commune with his disciples. And then I asked, who do you want to commune with? Number three, Jesus wants to commune with us right now. He wants to commune with us now. Hold your place in Luke. Would you go back to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. Book of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. Whether you see these churches as the different ages of the church or just simply different personalities, different issues of the church, that's not the point, but I think we can see ourselves in this particular passage. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, who's he talking to? A church, right? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then now, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. That doesn't sound like fun. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So that's why I'm telling you this. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's where Jesus is right now outside the church as a whole. Church is busy in the church doing everything they want to do. They got all their programs and all these things going on. And really when it's all said and done, he didn't die and pay for that. What he died and paid for was to have a relationship with you. And he's outside the door saying, can I come in? I just want to be part of what's going on. Can you imagine coming to church one day? We got all these glass doors, you can see them straight through. And the doors are locked. And you look in the door and you can see all this stuff going on and people going past the door kind of waving at you and you're knocking on the door but no one's opening the door and letting you in. So what kind of church is that? Now imagine if you were the one who died for him. He wants to commune. He says, you open the door, I'll come in, sup with you and you with me. He said, well, in other words, it kind of goes both ways. If you're with him, he's with you. Now, by the way, you know what we're waiting for him? For him to be with us so that we can be with him. But he's not going to get down in the muck and the mire to be with us. He will die for us so that we can be cleansed and we can be with him. But we want to walk with him, you got to walk with him. And he's more than happy to have you. Problem is, I said a little while ago, if we're doing something that other people can't see, then we probably shouldn't be doing it. Why do so many churches leave him on the outside of the door? Why do so many Christians leave him on the outside of their heart? Probably because if he saw what was going on, he wouldn't like it. You know, he might chasten us, like he said there. He might rebuke me. But are those things worth more than a communion with him? Well, I got to give up this, got to give up that, just to, huh? You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. Jesus has prepared a room for us in which we are to commune. That's what we did with his disciples, remember that? But we've left him outside of the door and we're all busy communing with one another while Jesus stands on the outside knocking for an entrance. Number four. When we commune with the servant, I said, I'm a servant. Let's go back to our passage there in Luke 22. We're communing with a servant, but when we commune with a servant, we're communing with a sovereign. Verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he said, listen, don't let him steal you away. 2 Timothy 2 says this, listen, consider, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to the gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. This is 2 Timothy 2:7. Even as bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny who he is. He cannot deny himself. When we commune with him, we're communing with the sovereign. Number five, and we're all done. And our gentleman's going to get ready. We're going to do the communion here in just a moment. Tonight, we once again take our place, if you want to say, at the table of suffering with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we do, he says, remember, I want us to remember what Jesus willingly did so that we could commune with him. He willingly went to the cross. He says, I longed for the day that I could eat this Passover. For the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 2, he endured the cross. Many have spent this time, communion time, many have spent the time thinking about what they're going to do once we finally get out of here. Some think about how the dry crackers are that we're going to get here in a moment and what the juice is going to be like when we get it. Some are busy judging others, think, well, that person on the other side of the room is not even worthy to take communion with you. Some have walked through this ritual so many times that it's just some silly religious thing that makes the service longer. And many of us are willing to eat with him, but are we willing to be, watch, devoured with him? Let me say that again. Many of us are willing to eat with Jesus, but are we willing to be eaten up with Jesus? To give our life a ransom for somebody else? Are we willing to place ourselves in the same position with Jesus? To speak and do the same thing, to commune with him? Are you willing to give yourselves so that others might live? Willing to give ourselves so that others might live. That is communing with Jesus. Yes, we have a little piece of bread. Yes, we have some grape juice. But the fact is, if we're not careful, it's just a little ritual. And he says, listen, I've longed for this day, and I've given myself to this day so that others could be with me. Now, you want to get in on what he's doing, do what he does. Give yourself a ransom, if you will, a sacrifice for others. Gentlemen, if you're here this evening, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know for sure if you died to go to heaven, you're trusting his death on the cross as full payment for your sins, you're welcome to partake of the communion with us. We have open communion here, but we're expecting you to be, you know whether you're saved or not. You need to know whether you, if that's not the case, then you certainly may abstain. That's no problem. And we will serve everyone and partake at the same time. Gentlemen. Thank you. When the hour was come, he sat down and 12 apostles with him. And he said to them with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take. Divide among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not eat the drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And he broke it. Unleavened bread would have been a little bit of a snap to it. He took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave unto them, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Father, thank you for the bread of life. Thank you for giving yourself to be broken for us, that we might live. Gentlemen.
Likewise, in the same way, also the cup after the he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." The Passover's over.
the picture, the types, they're finished. As John the Baptist pronounced, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Doesn't just cover the sin. It takes away the sin. It says, and it's shed for you. Why? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer for you. Now the gospel says, take, drink all ye of it. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Stay right there, gentlemen. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. We were all at the same table here this evening. No one else in this room may ever know what's in our heart. None of the other men knew what was in the heart of Judas. But Jesus did. This week, who will you commune with? Will you walk with him even though it may take you through some tough times, some trials? Or will you go your own way and commune with something else out there that has no desire for Jesus? With whom does your heart commune? Father, I thank you for being with us here this evening. Thank you for this sweet time. And when I think about what you gave up to be able to be with us, so often I know in my own heart there's so little that we're willing to give up to be with you. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. Thank you for the great grace that you have shed for us. You gave your body to be beaten, to be broken so that the living blood may flow, that we might have life. Thank you so much. Lord, you even said woe unto Judas. You felt sorry for Judas because you knew he was going to go out and commune with the wrong crowd. It's going to be bad. It wasn't going to end well. And Lord, even now your heart knows what our hearts are thinking. And Lord, I would hope that he wouldn't say woe about any of us, but that you would rejoice because we're going to commune with you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The Lord's spoken to your heart here this evening.